Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Double Jeopardy and Elements of Charge Defense Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On February 20th, 2013, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Evans v. Michigan. The case considered the scope of the Fifth Amendment's Double Jeopardy Clause, which protects an acquitted defendant from being retried for the same offense. Here, the question was whether the Double Jeopardy Clause bars retrial when the trial judge, erroneously believing that a particular fact was an element of the charged offense when it actually was not, directed an acquittal of the defendant because the prosecution had failed to prove the so-called fact. In an opinion delivered by Justice Sotomayor, the court held by a vote of 8-1 that the Double Jeopardy Clause bars retrial following a directed verdict of acquittal, even if the trial judge based his decision on erroneous beliefs about the elements of the crime. Chief Justice Roberts, as well as Justices Scalia, Kennedy, Thomas, Ginsburg, Breyer, and Kagan joined the majority opinion. Justice Alito filed a dissenting opinion. To discuss the case, we have William Otis, who is an adjunct professor at Georgetown University Law Center and a former federal prosecutor. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Otis.
The defendant, Lamar Evans, was in the middle of a jury trial for arson when his lawyer argued to the judge, erroneously, that the state had to prove that he had burned down a, quote, dwelling, and it introduced no such proof. The judge agreed and granted a directed verdict of acquittal. The question before the Supreme Court was whether, under the Double Jeopardy Clause, Evans could be retried after the erroneous acquittal. By a vote of 8-1, with Justice Alito as the sole dissenter, the court held that he could not. Justice Sotomayor, writing for the court, held that the Double Jeopardy Clause prohibits retrial following a court-decreed mid-trial acquittal, even if the acquittal is, quote, based upon an egregiously erroneous foundation, end quote. The court noted that several of its precedents had applied this rule in cases closely resembling Evans. The court declined to extend two instances in which an acquittal has been granted, a rule that developed for mistrials brought about at the defendant's instigation. In such instances, the court has allowed retrials because the defendant himself sought a pre-verdict termination of the proceedings, thus effectively waiving his right to the one fair shot only rule that lies at the heart of the double jeopardy protection. No such rationale applies, the court held, to acquittals, which are fact-related, substantive, and final terminations of jeopardy favorable to the accused. Actual acquittals have historically enjoyed the highest degree of protection under the Double Jeopardy Clause. While it may be true that the defendant gets a windfall by persuading the judge that the government failed to prove a non-existent element, that problem can be dealt with as a general matter if the states were to adopt rules that disallow mid-trial acquittals, encourage judges to withhold judgment until after the jury's verdict, or provide for mandatory continuances or expedited mid-trial appeals by the state. Justice Alito dissented, contending that the Double Jeopardy Clause, quote, is not triggered by a judge's erroneous pre-verdict ruling that creates an element out of thin air and then holds that the element is not satisfied. In my view, the winning argument for the state was not that hard to see, but oddly was touched upon only lightly, either in the briefs or at argument. The winning theory was the venerable and pre-constitutional rule that no party, in a criminal case or otherwise, can benefit by an error it invites. The invited error doctrine is one prosecutors should always have on their radar screen. In this case, defense counsel hornswoggled the trial judge into thinking the arson statute had an element that simply was not there, something Evans conceded on appeal. On that basis alone, and at the defendant's request, the judge granted a directed verdict, finding, not too surprisingly, that the state had adduced no evidence to prove the phantom element. The Supreme Court just brushed past this point in a single paragraph, saying blandly that, quote, most judgments of acquittal result from defense motions, and so, quote, to hold that the defendant waives his double jeopardy protection whenever a trial court error in his favor leads to a mid-trial acquittal would undercut the adversary assumption on which our system of criminal justice rests. end quote. But that reasoning falls short. It's mistaken primarily because it is insufficiently specific about what the defense motion actually argued. It's deficient relatedly because it amounts to a sub silentio repudiation of the invited error doctrine itself. If the defendant is to be allowed to keep his windfall merely because windfalls tend to start with defense motions, not looking too carefully at what exactly the motion argues, and defense motions are the stuff of which the adversary system is made, then the invited error doctrine has been all but written out of the law. To apply the invited error doctrine in this case would not have shown disrespect for the important protections of the Double Jeopardy Clause. Since the defendant was never in the jeopardy, his lawyer convinced the trial judge lay at the bottom of the charge. And invoking the doctrine would have vindicated a central anti-game-playing rule of litigation that protects accused arsonists just as it protects the rest of us.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.